Testing.
We amplify. So I started ballet when I was 3. So anytime I go anywhere near a ballet bar or a ballet studio, something happens in my body instinctively, whether I think about it or not. Somehow, the closer I get to that bar, the further my feet point from each other. I don't know how that happens, it just does. And then I hear my ballet teacher's voice when this happens. I hear her say, tuck your tush, and somehow my body just changes its shape in this really interesting way, whether I mean to or not. And this finger, this middle finger, starts moving just slightly out of, from this to this. That's just the way my hands start to go, and my arms start, just a slight curve. I can't help it. It just happens anytime I'm anywhere near a ballet studio or a ballet bar, because for years and years, the voices and the messaging of exactly the way my body needed to be in order to be a ballet dancer was taught to me over and over and over again. So when I first took a modern dance class in college, my teacher had to remind me over and over and over again that my fingers were supposed to be flat. That was the hardest part for me, and that my feet were supposed to point forward. It was very, very uncomfortable for me because I was so used to having conditioned my body to point a certain way when I was in that space. This is how culture works, right? The water you swim in creates the way that you exist in the world. We're all conditioned by the culture in which we live. We're conditioned to keep silent at incredible injustice. We're conditioned to judge one another based on how much we have or how we dress. We're conditioned to feel more comfortable with people who are like us than we are with difference. It takes extra effort to break out of this conditioning. It takes pushing hard in the other direction to get us moving. It's not a simple one-time action. It's a continual, sustained practice of changing behaviors and attitudes. We have to find ways to change our stance in the world. As citizens of the United States, especially, we're often taught to stand in ways that assert our superiority. The sense of privilege that is part of the cultural air we breathe affects all of us. We're taught that we are the most important people in the world. We are taught that we deserve more than everyone else. We are taught that we are the liberators who save other countries and cultures from themselves with our military action. And our culture tells us over and over again in a million subtle and not so subtle ways that it is normal, natural, even right to be white. Our culture centers whiteness. It lifts it up as superior. As leaders of the Black Lives of Unitarian Universalist Collective reminds us, in 2017, actual white supremacists are not required to uphold white supremacist culture. We may not believe or buy into the rhetoric. We may believe so strongly deep in our hearts that Black lives matter, that brown and black bodies have incredible worth, that all the light within all of us is a blessing. And still, white supremacy is so deeply ingrained in our culture that there are remnants of these attitudes in all of us. It takes effort to work against those impulses. We have to push against them regularly. We have to rise firmly in opposition to our own cultural arrogance. We have to learn in what ways our culture has been entirely built on the centering and superiority of whiteness, and a particular kind of whiteness even, so that we can push against it. So when something arises in our world that calls me to wish to rise, to stand against it, to say something. I wonder about how we might be in a way that is accountable and humble, a way that pushes against the sense of knowing all of the answers that marks such ignorance. When, once again, people of color within our faith call Unitarian Universalists everywhere to look at the ways in which Unitarian Universalism and all of the institutions within it have been built within the framework of white supremacy and are therefore products of that culture, how are we to respond? Now, I could get into the specific circumstances that led us to this call that came out in the last couple of months, but that wouldn't be the point. Throughout the history of Unitarian Universalism, we can find countless examples of this being a white-built, white-led institution. I could lift up countless examples also of ways in which the white Unitarian Universalists in power have either knowingly or ignorantly continued racist policies or practices over our history. And I'm not just talking about the distant past. Just within my lifetime, people of color have been continually pointing out the ways in which the racism and white supremacy that is the water of the larger culture continues to be present within the larger UU institutions and within our congregations. Over and over again within our recent history, UUs of color have lifted up ways in which they have experienced painful microaggressions within our walls and have shown us the ways in which we do things that are based on the ways that white dominant culture does things. Dr. Takaya Noor Amin, a member of the Black Lives UU Leadership Collective, puts it this way. My deep sadness as a Unitarian Universalist is that while this faith community has always been a space that welcomed my various religious heritage, my Blackness hasn't always felt at home here. That is to say, I never have been able to take for granted that I would be welcome in UU spaces as a Black woman. No matter how long I've been a member, what committees I've served on, or the number of times I've been to GA as a delegate, I've never been able to take for granted the sense of home and welcome and connection that I see my white UU siblings proudly proclaim. Now, when I hear these kinds of testimonies, and this is me, when I hear these kind of testimonies, and let me tell you, I've heard this kind of sentiment over and over again, it breaks my heart. Because that sense of home and welcome and connection that I find within my faith is so incredibly life-giving to me. And I know it is to many of you too. I want all people to have access to that so badly. And I know that none of us want this consciously. No one here wants people of color within our faith or our congregation to feel that they have to check any part of themselves at the door in order to feel that sense of belonging. We proclaim here in this church that, and in most UU churches, that Black lives matter because we know that all lives need to matter in order for that to happen. And in order for that to happen, major shifts need to happen in our culture at large. We understand that. We're very good at naming what's wrong with our larger culture, but when it comes to recognizing that it is within us all, that we are all products of the culture that we are a part of, that our congregations are built on the same values that are central to white supremacy, that is much harder for most of us. And yet, that is exactly what Unitarian Universalists of Color are asking of us right now. They've been asking for this as long as there have been people of color allowed in our congregations, which just happened in some congregations in the 60s, and the cries are getting more frequent and more urgent all the time. I imagine you find this as heartbreaking and outraging as I do. When injustice breaks our hearts, when it reaches into us and tears us apart a bit, we feel immediately called to action, or at least I do, and I think many of you do too. And then we must take a breath. We must take a moment of pause, of honest reflection, of looking deep within ourselves and our communities for the truths that we see, for the ways in which we are all products of this culture. There are simple little ways in which we send this message without realizing it. So let me lift up an example. Today, for the first time, we named the race of only the white speakers. All of the people of color whose race we left blank, those were voices of color. Generally, in our space and in most spaces, people name the race only of people of color, because white is the default. We assume whiteness. If the race is not named, we fill in that the person is probably white. But this is just a tiny example of how our culture continues to lift up whiteness as normal. In their book, Dismantling Racism, a Workbook for Social Change Groups, Kenneth Jones and Tima Okun name some of the explicit traits of white supremacist culture that pervade the dominant culture in the United States. Let's look at a couple of them that I think are clearly part of most Unitarian Universalist communities. First, individualism. This is clearly in our DNA on so many levels. Our theology is built on the inherent worth and dignity of every individual and on individual freedom. We not only run by the democratic process, which values each individual voice, we hold it up as the ideal structure. And our congregational polity is reflective of our deep centering of the individual. Each individual congregation is self-governed. In modern Unitarian Universalism, one could argue, and many do, in fact, that there is an idolatry to the way we look at the individual. Another characteristic of white supremacist culture that I see all too clearly within the walls of most Unitarian Universalist institutions, and I've been in quite a few of them, but it's strongest in the Midwest, is fear of open conflict. We value being nice and polite to the detriment of naming and addressing difficult issues. When someone raises issues that cause discomfort, all too often they are blamed for raising the issue, called rude or impolite, as a way of deflecting so that the issue itself doesn't have to be dealt with. We avoid conflict in a myriad of highly sophisticated ways, and these are just the tip of the iceberg. There is much to be done within Unitarian Universalism if we wish to truly be the justice makers that we claim to be. If we wish to truly live into our values, if we wish to be that religious witness that Rebecca Parker spoke of in our reading, to the great pain that lives in this world that we have contributed to in so many unconscious ways. As Unitarian Universalist minister and historian Mark Morrison Reed puts it, our history in regards to racial justice is brave enough to make you proud, tragic enough to make you cry, and inept enough to make you laugh once the anger passes. We also have a future. Today's task is to learn from what was and move on. To move on will mean creating a vision for the future. May concern for our faith and love for one another guide our efforts. So here's the thing. I know we do wish to move forward into our future, to be that religious witness, to truly live our values of justice, to hold the whole world in our hearts, to reach out and hold the pain of those around us who are crying out. We do not lack for people who truly wish to see our whole world become a beloved community. We are a people who seeks to build a new world, a new way, a place where we lift up the voices of the oppressed, where the marginalized voices are centered so that we can create the deep, abiding change we so desperately need for wholeness. I know that we believe in this work. The question merely is then, are we brave enough to actually do it? Because it will not be safe. It will be uncomfortable and painful and hard. It will take incredible humility, knowing that I and we do not have all of the answers. And it will take risking the vulnerability of working against some very deeply ingrained attitudes and behaviors, knowing that I will mess up along the way and there will be consequences. I will hurt people. It will take me being willing to make amends when we make mistakes, to say I'm sorry to those that we have hurt, and to change our behaviors and learn to make different mistakes. And above all, it takes learning how to be differently in the world, completely differently in the world. This is no small task. To position myself in a way where I am not the center of the universe is actually incredibly countercultural. It's a stance that takes practice, but can also be empowering. And in giving up a sense of control and power, we actually gain the power of all those we stand in solidarity with. We are no longer one against the world. We are a force to be reckoned with. Our voices are amplified. We are all those who rise with us in struggle. We are all those who witness injustice and do not keep silence. We are strengthened by one another, and we are not alone. White Unitarian Universalist writer and activist Chris Crass writes of his first time grappling with voices of color pointing out white supremacy culture in an institution he loved and was a part of in this way. I had to open myself up to the grief, the pain, the anger of people of color in our community and let go of my defensiveness, my list of but. I had to struggle against the socialization of white supremacy, which had subtly and systemically shared the geography of my consciousness and subconscious. This socialization led me to marginalize the lives of people of color, to hear people of color's critique of racism as exaggeration, as manipulation, as personal attack, and to experience the demands of people of color for dignity and racial justice as diminishing my dignity, my rights, my future. I felt like all that I believed, all that I loved, was being called a lie. I felt like I was losing my place in this community that meant so much to me. I felt like I had no idea what to do. I wanted to run away or hide. And in that moment, a mentor said to me, "The most important thing you can do right now is keep showing up. Keep listening. Keep open as much as you can." She added, "What you are experiencing may feel deeply personal, but all of this, the pain, the confusion, the grief, the sense of loss, of hopelessness, this is the world that supremacy systems have created. What you are feeling is hard, but if you stay open, stay present, draw strength from your deepest values, then you will move towards a world of liberation values and away from the hold supremacy systems have on you." Reflecting on what I was hearing from people of color, he continues, "I lost myself in tears and in an outpouring of suppressed pain, the pain of violence and horror, of the injustices of supremacy systems that I've witnessed and I've heard and read about, the histories I've studied, and so much of this pain suppressed and held in my body. As a white man who experienced fists hitting my body for expressing vulnerability, I often feared that letting myself go into the depths of hurt and pain within myself, of letting myself hear and have empathy for the hurt and pain of others, would shatter me. And shatter me it did. It shattered that sense of scarcity that supremacy systems raised with me with, the scarcity of compassion, of democracy, of redemption." What vulnerable words and beautiful words. And he has dedicated his life, his whole career, to challenging white supremacy. It's going to be scary, friends. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to feel unsafe. And together, we can create a brave space, a space where we hold one another in our fears, where we hold hands along the journey, where we push each other to keep going when it's hard and care for each other when we need it. We must hold each other's feet to the fire, though, too. We must, with love, continue to push to move our faith towards a truly beloved community where all souls actually matter, where marginalized voices are centered, where we are all held as sacred and loved. We make a conscious choice here, though. As Unitarian Universalist candidate for ministry Aisha Ansana reminds us, white people tend to be visitors to the struggle for racial justice, ones that aren't forced to be there but can choose to come in and leave whenever they like. People of color reside in the struggle for racial justice by virtue of their race. As people who are constantly in the struggle, people of color have the right to make claims on what they find okay and not okay, what they see as helpful and not helpful. As people of faith, we are called to rise for equity and compassion. We are called to be those who ask. We are called to be with those who ask for our help. We are called to answer the cries for justice that can be heard all around this world, around this land, around this community. But how we answer that call matters. Our stance in the world makes a difference. Whether we are visitors or we are deeply committed to the lifelong work of completely changing the systems that uphold white supremacy matters. I choose to stand as humbly as I can, to live with my body and my heart as open as I can to what I might encounter, knowing that this is a more vulnerable position, but also a more transformative one. I choose to reach my hands out to siblings in creation all over this earth and to walk right in the midst of the struggle for justice and peace, because this is where my faith calls me to be, and this is how my heart calls me to live. Knowing what truths I know, like that we are all connected and that your pain affects me, how can I not work with love for all of humanity? Knowing how many people hunger and how much violence and fear is rampant in the world, how can I not work with love for all of humanity? Knowing that Unitarian Universalists of color yearn to belong more fully among us, to have their whole beautiful selves embraced fully in our faith, how can I not eradicate the white supremacy that lives in our communities, that is in direct opposition to so many of our espoused values? Knowing that it takes work to push against my own conditioning of consumerism, arrogance, self-centeredness, and white supremacy, how can I not engage in this work? Would you join me? Would you take my hand and walk with me into the midst of the struggle? Where does your faith call you to be? Where will your love guide you? There are many who are asking for us to listen and follow them. There are leaders of color within our faith, from the accomplished interim co-presidents now of the Unitarian Universalist Association to the leadership collective of Black Lives of UU, calling us to heed this call now. There are many hands reaching for yours. Take them. Let's create a braver space. Let's build a new, more just, more beautiful way together. Amen.